Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
We're going to finish our series, I Am, this morning by looking at John chapter 15. If you have your Bible, you can turn there to John chapter 15. This is the final I Am. Jesus made seven I Am statements declaring who he was, recorded for us in the Gospel of John. And we've taken the last few weeks, beginning with Easter Sunday, looking at those I Am statements. We began looking on Easter Sunday with Jesus declaring, I am the resurrection and the life. And we've looked through Jesus saying, I am the bread, I am the gate, I am the light, I am the shepherd, I am the way last week. And today we're going to look at Jesus' declaration that he is the vine. Let's just read this morning, and then we're going to dig in. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Again, before we read, just to give us a little context to make sure that we understand where we're talking about, we looked at this last week. This is Jesus' final conversation with his disciples. This is from John chapter 13 throughout until the crucifixion. John records the events of the Last Supper. How many have seen that famous painting by Leonardo da Vinci of the Last Supper? So this is that moment. This really tells the whole story, probably not the whole story, but a bigger chunk of the story than we see in any of their Gospels. John focuses on some of those last words of Jesus, those last commands to his disciples. And it's important to understand that when we talked about this last week, when Jesus says, I am the way, and when Jesus says, I am the vine, he is speaking only to the 12 at this time. The other I am statements were made in big crowds to everyone, but there are some parts of who Jesus is that we'll only understand and we'll only get to know him as we follow him closely. Amen? And last week we talked about how I'll never be able to fully understand who Jesus is while I'm following him at a distance. Amen? And there's some things I will only be able to see about Christ as I follow him closely and become his disciples, because there are some things that he only shares with those who are following him closely. And this, when he says, I am the way and I am the vine, these are statements and revelations about himself that he makes only to those that were closest to him, only to those that were following him closely. And I desire, I don't know about you, but I desire personally to be one who follows Jesus closely. Amen. That's my prayer for my life. I'm sure I fail at that many times, but I believe over the last, 20 years now of following Jesus, I believe I could probably say with boldness that I'm following him as closely as I know how. Amen. And as God reveals more things that I need to do in my life, I'm more than willing to do that. And so my desire is to follow Jesus closely, to know who he is. And so this is what he says. He says in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Say that last part again. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I pray, God, as we spend these next few moments looking at and studying and digging into these few verses of Scripture, God, I pray that you will speak to every single one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you will open our minds and our ears and our eyes, that we can understand, that we can see, and that we can hear everything that you want to say to us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me to say the exact words, God, not that I want to say, but Lord, that are on your heart to say to your people this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. And I pray in these next few moments that great exchange will take place that happens through preaching, where you will turn the words that come out of my mouth into the exact words through the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we all need to hear today, Father, in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that we will have an encounter and a revelation of you. Not just a teaching, not just some wisdom, not just a funny story, but God, an encounter with you through your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Why don't we just do this? Will you just put your hand on your belly somewhere this morning, on your chest, and just repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many have ever gotten a great gift from like your spouse or a loved one? Anybody gotten a gift that was just like an amazing gift? I have before. Way back in the day when Luann and I were very first married, I had this probably, it probably started, how many have ever seen The Karate Kid? Remember The Karate Kid? Not the new ones with the Will Smith kid, but I'm talking about the original Karate Kid with Ralph Macchio, you know what I mean? And Johnny, the bad guy from the Cobra Kai dojo. How many know what I'm talking about? I probably watched Karate Kid. How many times? I probably watched it 135,000 times from the time I was like 6 years old till the time of today, right now. Like, I will still, if Karate Kid is on, I will probably still watch it right now. If it's on TV this afternoon, I will stop everything I want to do and watch. It was the most amazing movie ever, right? And probably because of how many loved Mr. Miyagi, right? Pat Morita, Mr. Miyagi, man, he was awesome. Was there anything greater in the Karate Kid movies, the first three, where every movie ended with a Mr. Miyagi smile? Remember that? As the credits rolled, it was always Mr. Miyagi's smile, and I'm not going to try to imitate that. That would be really politically incorrect, I think. But that Mr. Miyagi smile, man, that was so awesome. And so Mr. Miyagi was that, you know, cool, wise, oriental guy that had all this kung fu knowledge and stuff, and he was into bonsai trees. And you know, remember Mr. Miyagi, he would trim the, and so probably somewhere in there, I just had this urge and this longing desire to have a bonsai tree. So and I never had one because you don't have a lot of bonsai trees here in Indiana. And so my mom, or I'm sorry, my wife said, when we first got married, she said, I'm gonna be so thoughtful. And she went through all kinds of steps. She secretly got in contact with her stepdad and had her stepdad, who drove past the place that had bonsai trees or whatever, pick me up a little bitty, like tiny miniature bonsai tree to go in my office in our first church that I was a youth pastor at. And it was a little bonsai tree. And I was looking at that bonsai tree one day, and I probably just watched Karate Kid for the 136,000th time or something. And I noticed Mr. Miyagi trimmed and pruned and shaped those bonsai trees. And I thought, you know, I should probably do some pruning and some shaping on this. Now, you understand, this bonsai tree is this big, and it's literally just a stick with, and it was cool looking, but I thought, I'm going to shape this thing up and make it look like it looks like on the back of the Karate Kid's, you know, the logo on his gi or whatever the thing is. And so I got some scissors in my office one day, and I started trimming and cutting and snipping, and I was shaping, and just, man, I was making it look awesome. And then before you know it, the only thing that was left was a little bitty stick coming out. Am I lying, Luann? It's a little stick coming out of the thing with maybe like one little bud thing left on top. And it was the saddest thing ever. And eventually we just had to throw the whole thing away. And now Luann and I have been married several years now. 16 this year? 15 this year? 15 years in November. And so she still brings that up. She still brings it up and promises I will never again be given a bonsai tree by her because I ruined the one she gave me so long ago. Why did I ruin that bonsai tree? Because I have no business gardening or pruning any sort of thing because I have no idea what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? But thankfully in our life, what Jesus is talking about here is that God is a master gardener who knows perfectly how to trim, how to prune, how to cut, and how to shape our lives to be the trees and the plants and the fruit that he wants us to be. Amen. And so what Jesus is really getting to in some of this is that we don't have to worry if God begins to shape and God begins to cut and God begins to prune our lives a little bit. We don't have to worry that it's going to end up something that has to get thrown out because God is not like me. He knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. Amen. So let's dig into this text a little bit because there is a lot of meat and a lot of truth in those few verses that we just read that we're going to dig into this final Jesus declaring who he is. And he says, I am the vine. And so if we're going to really get this, first off, we have to know our roles. Turn to your neighbor and say, know your role. Turn to your other neighbor and say, know the roles. The roles in this, for this process and for this text to work, for us to know Jesus as the vine, we're going to have to know the roles in which we fit. And here they are. They're real simple. Jesus is the vine, or Jesus is the root is another way to say that. Jesus is the main thing. Does that make sense? Let me say it this way. Jesus is the plant that God wants to grow in the world. Amen? Jesus is the vine. He is the main thing. He is the focal point. He is the root. It is him. God is the gardener. Now, am I just making this up? No, let's look at it. Jesus says, I am the vine in verse 1, and my Father is the gardener, right? So God, as the gardener, has the big picture, and he's in charge of the whole thing. If we look, the garden could very easily be looked at and applied to our life, could be looked at the world we live in, but God is the one in charge. Amen? Jesus is the vine. God the Father is in charge. You and I are the branches. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're the branch. Okay? Now, this is very important because, listen, the branches are not the point. The vine is the focal point. Does that make sense? You don't plant a branch. A branch grows from the vine. The vine, the root, is what's planted and is what is what declare what is it's the main thing that the gardener wants to grow. Right? Am I making sense? And so why you say, why is this important? Here's why this is important. Because sometimes I think that we can be guilty. I know I've been guilty of looking at God and thinking that I am the main point of what he wants to do. I'm the tree that God's trying to grow. My life is the vine that God is planting in the earth. And the reality is, it's not. I am just a branch on the vine. Jesus is the vine. Amen. Sometimes in church, we can think that the point of what God wants to do is grow, for instance, Red Life Church. It's not. Red Life Church is only a branch. Our purpose is to grow Jesus. That's what God wants to plant. God doesn't want to plant and make your life great. He wants to make Jesus great in the earth and chooses to use your life as a branch to do it. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not the point. Turn to him and say, I'm not the point. I'm not the point. Jesus is the point. And when I begin to shift my thinking and begin to understand my roles, it will begin to change and define some things in my life. Because when I'm not the point anymore, I understand that I may not understand everything that's happening, but that's okay because I'm not the focal point of the universe anyway. Jesus is. And so God may be doing something in my life or around my life or with my life that I wouldn't choose or I wouldn't pick or I wouldn't decide to do, but I've got to understand I'm not the point that God, I'm not the thing that God's trying to grow. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Amen? And so he is the vine. I'm not the vine. I'm just a part of the vine. You are just a part of the vine. We are just a part of the vine. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the root. Now, because Jesus is the vine and I am a branch on that vine, what that means is that once I have given my life to Jesus, in fact, Paul talks about this. Paul says that when we get saved, when we give our life to Jesus, God takes a branch that was fallen off of the vine and grafts it into the greater branch. You ever seen that happen with a plant or a gardener able to do that? Will they take a branch from it's fallen off, and they'll wrap tape around it or wrap wire around it and place it back where it's fallen so that can be healed, and that will eventually, as it stays connected to the vine, eventually it will grow back into the tree. Right? And that's what Paul says happens to our life. When we give our lives to Jesus and we become followers of Jesus, we become followers of the way. Listen, God takes that branch that was our life broken off from the tree and he grafts it back into the vine. Okay? Now, because he's the vine, because he's the root, let me say it this way. Because we've been grafted into a new root, we can expect new fruit in our life. Amen? And that hopefully is good news to some of you. I don't know about you, but I've had some fruit in my life that I didn't appreciate. I've had some fruit come out of my life that I didn't think was the right thing. I've had some fruit fall off of my branch that I knew wasn't the stuff that it should be. And so what I can do because if I understand that Jesus is the vine, he's my root, thankfully, because he's my new root, I have a chance for new fruit. Amen. So if you don't like the fruit of your life and the past of what you've seen, guess what? Let's get grafted into a new root and begin to expect some new fruit. Amen? I have a new root system. Because Jesus is the vine, I have a new root system which will begin to produce new fruit. Now, so you might say, well, I don't feel like I have a new root. I don't feel like I'm producing any new fruit. Listen, it doesn't matter. Sometimes I just need to grab onto what God's word says. Listen, this is a kingdom principle we need to understand about how God's word works. Sometimes in my life, I need to grab a hold of what God's word says, regardless of what I feel. Sometimes I need to grab a hold of what God's word says and believe that and speak that and declare that and hold on to that before I ever see the actual result of it in my life. Amen? See, sometimes we do life with God. We do life waiting for God's word to show up in our life, and then we'll grab onto it. And it doesn't work that way. The Bible says faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's an element to this that I've got to grab onto God's word before I ever see it work in my life. Amen? But if I will grab onto God's word and say, man, he's the vine, I'm the branch. And I've got new seed. See, the reason sometimes our fruit is jacked up is because we are looking at life like we're the tree, like we're the root. And if I'm the root, my root is bad. My root is wicked. My root is messed up. My root is sinful from day one. And as long as I'm waiting on God to grow fruit off of me and make me the focal point of everything he does, I'm going to continue to produce that fruit. But if I begin to see Jesus as the root that I'm grafted into, I can begin to expect his fruit to show up in my life. And I can begin to expect that and look that and believe for that before it even happens. Why? Because God's word has got to be elevated above every other situation and circumstance in my life if it's going to work. Amen? So he's a new root, and we produce new fruit. Now, this new root system comes with three things. It comes with a cost. It comes with a process, and it comes with a place. And we're going to explore those for the remainder of our time together. The cost, a process, and a place. What is the cost of being grafted into this new root system? The cost is simply new fruit. Amen? Let me say it this way. The cost is that God will expect me to bear some fruit of what he's doing in my life. Amen? I see, this isn't the kind of stuff that gets big amens and shouts. Because when I start talking about bearing fruit, it begins to make me look at myself and look at myself in the mirror and look at my life and ask myself the question, does my life look like what God says it should look like? And that can either be an amen or an oh me. I don't know. But sometimes we need to examine that and look at that if we're ever going to grow beyond where we are. Amen? And so the cost is new fruit. Listen to me close. Everything God does in my life is for the purpose and for the end result of me bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, what is the fruit of the kingdom of God? We're going to look at two things. First of all, there's spiritual fruit, the spiritual fruit of the kingdom of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, righteousness, kindness, peace, joy, faithfulness, patience, long-suffering, mercy, goodness. And I probably messed some of those things up, but there's a list in Galatians chapter 5, right? And really, all of that really is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, mercy, goodness. All those things are reflections of the one fruit, love. Amen? So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Simply put, the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to bear in my life is the character of Jesus Christ. Amen? The character of Jesus Christ. I should act like Jesus would act like in the situations that I'm in. Amen? Now, I fail at that. You fail at that. But that's the point of what God wants to do. The point of what God wants to do in my life is to bear the character and the nature of God in the earth through the presence and person of the Holy Spirit to reflect Jesus Christ in my life to the world around me. Amen? The fruit of the Spirit. Listen. That is the point of what God wants to do. The second kind of fruit is souls. Amen? The fruit that God wants us to bear in our life is winning people to Jesus, bringing people to Jesus, bringing people into a relationship with Jesus. Guys, that's the fruit we should be bearing as a church. As a church, our two main jobs, reaching, encouraging, and discipling. Reaching and discipling, bookend encouraging, because they're really the biggest thing. What is discipling? Is growing us into the character and growing the nature of Jesus inside of us. Reaching is reaching people for the kingdom and glory of God. Listen, if we're not doing those two things as a church body, then we're failing and we're not doing what God's called us to do. Amen? That is the fruit God wants to do. And hear me close. Everything God does in my life is to that end. Every blessing, everything, every time I feel His presence, every time I read His Word and something jumps off the page, every time I get an encouraging word from someone, every time I you know, have a moment where I recognize that God did something great for me, listen to me, the point of all of that is to bear fruit. We have way too much in our lives. And I'm talking with me at this as well. I'm with you. We've way too much in our lives just wanted God to do a bunch of stuff with us, but didn't want to have that turn into anything real that cost us anything in our life. Amen? Hear me. Let me say it this way. Jesus did not save you simply to make you a better person. Jesus did not save you simply to make you better. Jesus did not die on the cross and shed His blood simply to make your life easier. Jesus did not save you and bring you into a glorious revelation of who He is in your life simply to make you look better and dress up your plant that is the point of the world anyway. No, my friend, Jesus saved you so that you and I would bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen? That is the cost of a new root system. Let me say this. Bearing fruit is more than just showing up to church on Sunday morning. Amen? Bearing fruit is more than just reading my Bible three or four times a week. Bearing fruit is more than just saying grace over my meal and having a bedtime prayer with my kids. Amen? Bearing fruit is a life that brings glory to God in everything I do. Amen? Bearing fruit is a life that reflects the nature of Jesus in every decision that I make. Bearing fruit is a life that has at its core a desire to bring other people into the same revelation of Jesus Christ that I have been brought into myself. That, my friend, is bearing fruit. Amen? Amen? I know that's, listen, that convicts me as much as it convicts you. I know that sounds like some high and lofty goal to attain to. We're thinking, man, I don't think I could ever get to that point. But listen to me. If I aim high, I'll get closer to it than if I bring my standard down here. Amen? And so we've got to we want to let God's word be the standard, and it may be high, but man, I can't be afraid of a high standard, because here's the thing. God said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen? So when God gives us a high standard in His word, it's not so that He can kill us and so that He can make our lives miserable. It's because He's been planning on sending the Holy Spirit to empower us and push us and encourage us and lift us to meet that standard. Amen? Where a standard is too high for me to get to, the Holy Spirit will show up and help me make the difference up. Amen? Here's what I've got to do. Listen, forget about the, I'm going to make this go. Listen, here's what I've got to do. I've got to get my heart to the right place where I say, God, I want to bear fruit for Your kingdom. I don't want You to waste what You did on the cross and me just think that it was just for me to have a good life and an easy life and a better life and make me a better version of myself. No, God, I want to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen? I want to reflect the nature of Jesus in everything I do, and I want to bring other people into that same relationship that I'm into. Amen? Bearing fruit is more than just showing up to church, more than just singing some songs, more than just going through some rituals. Listen, an apple tree does not exist for its decorative aesthetic value. Right? An apple tree that doesn't produce apples is taking up space in the orchard. Amen? And we've got to shift. Man, I don't know if I'm not preaching this right, or if you guys are thinking about it, or if everybody's tired and ready to get to Mother's Day celebrations, but I need you guys to be with me. Okay? Listen. We've got to shed this idea I'm just going to show up and God's going to do some dressing and make me look better and make me look more pleasing to people and make my life look better to people. No, the purpose is the fruit. Amen? An ugly tree that bears good fruit is a tree that'll have a place in the garden. Come on, somebody. And if an apple tree isn't producing apples, then it's taking up space, right? If a pear tree isn't producing pears, it's taking up space. If an orange tree isn't producing oranges, then it's taking up space. And that's where we get to the process, where he says in verses 2 and 3, or in verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. There's pruning and there's cutting. Now, Justin Bradley's not the gardener, thankfully, and we've already talked about that. God is the gardener, and frankly, God is the only, and the reason that God is the gardener is because he's the only one qualified to look at a branch and say, that needs to be cut or it needs to be pruned. Now, on the outside, cutting and pruning look very much the same and sound very much the same, right? Because they both involve removing something, taking something away, cutting something away, right? Now, but they are a little bit different. Cutting, when you cut a tree, you are generally just getting dead branches out of the way. Dead branches out of the way. Listen, do you know, sometimes guys, and I, as a pastor, I absolutely hate when anyone would leave our family, our faith family. I do. It hurts me. It grieves my soul when someone would remove themselves or when someone would have life take them out or whatever else, man. But this is what I've learned sometimes. Not all the time, but this is what one thing I've learned. Sometimes it's God removing dead branches that are in the way. And that's the reality. You understand what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, why do you have to remove the dead branches? You have to remove a dead branch because a dead branch will continually put a drain on the vine and it's not producing any fruit. It's taking up resources and taking up space but not producing anything to the outcome. And that will eventually lead to the death of the entire tree. Amen? And there are some branches in your life. There are some things in your life that God will cut away, and it's painful, and it hurts. There may be people that God removes from your life. There may be jobs that God takes out of your life. There may be relationships that God cuts out of your life, and it's painful, and it hurts, and we're like, God, what are you doing? Why is this happening? But what I've got to understand is I've got to trust that God is the master gardener. And if he's cutting something out of my life, it's because it's making a drain on the resources that God has there, and he ultimately wants my life to be fruitful. Amen? Cutting away. Listen, tree branches, tree trimmers, they cut dead branches away so that they can ensure the proper growth of the tree. Amen? And sometimes in life, listen, I got to understand, when God's cutting something away, if God's removing something away, if God is cutting some things out, maybe even in our church or ministry sometimes, guess what? He's doing it to ensure the proper growth of the tree. Amen? He's doing it to ensure the proper growth of the tree. Now, this is where knowing my role comes in. I'm not the gardener, so I don't get to decide who is coming in and who's not. I'm just a branch on the tree. I'm not the vine. I'm not the point. So if it hurts, it doesn't matter if I don't understand it, because I'm not the point anyway. Amen? You gotta understand, I'm the branch. And the branch doesn't look at the gardener and say, don't cut me and don't cut that one either, because I like him. Nope, the branch just shuts his mouth and he's the branch. Amen? So there's cutting. It's cutting. And then there's pruning. Now, pruning is different in that cutting involves usually cutting away entire branches. Pruning involves pruning segments on a specific branch. And the reason that pruning is done is you will prune a branch. You might prune a rose bush and prune off extra buds that you don't want to grow and develop roses so that you don't cause a branch to produce too much fruit. Because if one branch produces too much fruit, it won't be able to pull in the resources to supply and to sustain all that kind of growth, and eventually that branch will die. And so God, as the master gardener of our life, will sometimes come through and prune some things out of our life and say, that's too much. Let's cut away that. You don't need to do that. You don't need to be involved with that. You don't need to have that person in your life. Let's cut away these things so that I can produce the proper amount of fruit that I'm able to sustain. Does that make sense? And this is some interesting things I learned about pruning. I did a little research on cutting and pruning, and I never knew anything about that, as evidenced by my story with the bonsai tree very much earlier. But listen about pruning. Pruning is not only done to keep a branch from bearing too much fruit and killing the branch. This is interesting. Pruning is often done best when a branch is a young branch. Is a young branch, right? And I see that in my life with God, man. There was a time when I was 15 years old and rededicated my life to Christ and full on was following Jesus from here on out. Man, there was a time of probably the first year to like 4 or 5 years of my life where, man, God was just pruning all sorts of things. I'm like pulling relationships out of my life, pulling media and things, entertainment things that out of my life, and just taking all sorts of things, some things that were not even sinful, just things that God would just say, you don't need that, you don't need that, you don't need it. And it happened, and I remember it happening when I'm young. In fact, there's a scripture in the book of Lamentations that says this. It says, it's good for a man to bear the burden when he's young. To bear the burden when he's young. And some of you if you're brand new to Jesus, brand new to Christ, or maybe just coming back into following Jesus, following the Lord, listen to me, young people, if you're in high school, listen to me. It's good for you at a young age to allow God to do things in your life early. Because if I will learn real quickly to allow God to prune things in my life, it will be much easier when I'm older to continue to allow him to do so. But if I have a hardened heart and a hardness about my life that is just, I want to hold on to everything and I will never let God change or shape or mold or cut or prune anything in my life, listen, that tendency will only get harder and get more ingrained into who I am the older I get. Amen? And some of you, if you just begin to follow Jesus and all of a sudden you gave your life to the Lord, maybe you're in this service one day like this and you raised your hand and prayed a prayer. And you even maybe you came up here after service and got a booklet of Now What and got a Bible and began to read your Bible and you begin thinking, man, and all of a sudden it's like your whole world got turned upside down and all of a sudden songs you used to listen to, you don't feel right about them anymore and friends and conversations you used to have, it just doesn't feel the same anymore and movies you used to watch just and the things you used to be involved in. Let me tell you what's going on. God is the gardener, is pruning your life. Let me just give you this advice. Let him. He's pruning you so that you will bear much fruit. And he's doing it now in the younger stages before things have a chance to really develop and before things have a chance to really dig in and really grow roots in your life. He's pruning you early so that you can bear fruit later. Amen. Less now so that I can have more later. Amen? If you're young in Christ, listen, I know that when you first come to a new church and you first give your life to Jesus, you want to get involved in everything. You want to greet and you want to usher and you want to be in kids' church and you want to sing on the worship team and you want to be on the cleaning team and you want to lead a life group and you want to do all these things. Listen, whoa, 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 stop. You're going to bear too much too early. Amen? Wait. Wait. Get involved in one thing, two things maybe, but slow down. Get rooted in God. Get rooted in Christ. As much as I love the passion of someone who says, man, listen, when somebody says to me, hey, I want to do something, I want to work, I want to help, I can find all kinds of stuff to do, but I don't want to burn you out. Because I know that if I burn you out, the fruit that could have, listen, I may get a lot of fruit out of you now for 6 months, but you'll burn out where I could have gotten an infinite amount of more out of you in the long run if I let you just do a little bit now. Amen? We've had that happen here. We have people say, man, I want to do this, I want to do that. And I say, you know what, why don't you just, listen, let's find maybe one thing for you to do, but you need to just be in church, you need to sit, you need to get taught, you need to be involved in life group, you need to just chill and just, man, get ministered to, right? And make sure this is where God's called, make sure this is where God has you, and man, let's just, and that'll come. Amen? So we don't understand. Well, I want to be used. I know you want to be used. I know you want to be used. Man, it's impossible for you to have an encounter with God and not want to do something with the deposit of the Holy Spirit in your life. I get it. Amen? But I want to see you not only be used now, I want to see you be used 30 years from now. Amen? So let God prune you. What are some things that God... And here's the other thing. Listen to this. Pruning is best done in a tree's dormant season when it's not bearing fruit. Pruning is best done when there's no fruit on the tree and you begin before it even... And so listen, let me say this. There's never a wasted season in God's life, in your life with Jesus. and you meet me in a dormant season where it feels like nothing is happening, you're making no forward progress, you're reading the Bible and you're getting nothing, you're praying and you're feeling nothing, you're worshiping and you're getting nothing and feeling nothing, and you're not doing anything, there's just something, you know you want to do something, but you don't know what it is, and the opportunity's not there, and the door's not open, you just don't know. Listen, it could very well be that God has you in a dormant season, and what he wants to do right now is to prune some things in your life and shape the branch that you are so that you can be the exact, so that you can bear the fruit that he has for your life later. Amen? You may feel like, man, I'm just wasting time. I'm just spinning my wheels. I'm just doing nothing. Listen, there's no wasted seasons in the kingdom of God. God always has a purpose. God always has a plan, whether I can see it, whether I can feel it. It may feel dormant to me, but chances are God is doing something, pruning, moving, shaping, directing. Amen? And in verse 3, it says, you are already clean, listen, because of the word. Say, because of the word. Because of the word I have spoken to you. He cuts up, verse 2, he cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Some translations say purifies, so that it will be even more fruitful. And then verse 3, you are already clean because of the word. She's saying, Jesus is saying, you've already been pruned because of the word that's been spoken to you. Let me. What are the pruning shears that God uses? It's the word. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4 says the word is sharper than a two-edged sword to cut, to separate the joints and the marrow and the spirit, the soul and the spirit. Okay? Now let me say this. Listen. If you do not want God to shape your life, don't pick up your Bible. Amen? If you don't want God to shape your life, don't show up to church on Sunday morning and get offended when the preacher says something that cuts you a little bit, because that's what the word does. The word cut. In fact, in Acts chapter 3, when Peter stood up and preached the gospel in Acts chapter 3 under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that after Peter's preaching, the crowd's heart was cut to the quick. Cut. The word of God cut them. Sometimes God's word cuts us. Amen? And we got to understand, listen, here's the thing. Listen. Why verse 2, let's read this again so we all understand this. Verse 2, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. There we go, thank you. It will be even more fruitful. It will be even more fruitful. If God is cutting me, and then the word cuts, if the word is cutting me, it's not because God's trying to be a jerk. It's not because God's trying to make me feel bad. It's because there's more fruit that God wants for me to bear. But I've got to let some things get cut first, cut away first, and prune first before that can take place. Amen? And let's talk about the last thing that I want to talk to you about this morning. We'll talk about the cost, the process, and then the place of bearing fruit. Verse 4 and 5. Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I am him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Where is the place that we bear fruit? In Jesus. Amen? Listen, I can only bear fruit by staying connected to the vine. Amen? The place of bearing fruit is in the vine. It's in the root. It's in the plant. It's in the tree. It's in connectivity with Jesus. Now listen to me close. I think one reason, I'm just going to talk to you about Justin Bradley for a moment. I think one reason that Justin Bradley, and if you want to insert your name there, you can. That's okay. But I'm not going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about me. One reason Justin Bradley doesn't bear the fruit that he desires to and that God has called him to and desires him to is this, is because I don't stay connected outside of here sometimes. Amen? I think a big reason that the church and Christians are not bearing fruit for the kingdom of God is because we don't stay connected to Christ outside of a church setting. We don't stay connected to Jesus unless we're with our other Jesus connectivity friends. And sometimes even in that, there's really no connection to Christ. Amen? Listen, If I want to bear fruit, I've got to do it the way God says to do it. And Jesus said the way to do it is to stay connected to the vine. And you do not have to come to church to get connected to the vine. You do not have to be in life group to be connected to the vine. Amen? You do not have to have the worship team or to be connected to the vine. You can be connected to the vine anywhere. You can stay connected to the vine. Listen, and this is the thing. If I'm going to bear fruit, then I've got to get to a place where I'm going to remain in Christ on Monday just like I am on Sunday. Amen? You say, well, how do you do that? Man, you know, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians says to pray continuously, to pray all the time. That doesn't mean we walk around doing this all day long like some kind of crazy person or walk around speaking in tongues all day long like some kind of maniac. No, it means I can have a continual conversation with God throughout my entire day. I tell you right now, just the other day, I was driving back from Harrison. Life-changing moment happened for me this week. I went online and ordered my groceries on the Kroger click list thing. I've never done that before, but I thought, man, this would be great. And so, went to Kroger, pulled around the side of the building, and some lady was there with my groceries and put them in my truck. I wouldn't have even had to get outside of my truck, but my truck is a little bit rigged, and I'm the only one that knows how to work all the handles, and so I had to get out and open the back for her because it's custom made for me. So, by custom, that means broke, broken. And so, but I just started calling everything custom that breaks on my truck. And so, but it was amazing, life-changing moment. But I was coming back from Harrison after having some stranger put groceries in my truck. It was just a little awkward. I was like standing there, like I was like, should I help? Like, should I dig in here? You know what I mean? Or just watch? I don't know what the protocol is. But anyway, so I'm driving back from Harrison, and guess what, man? All of a sudden, man, I just felt the Holy Spirit's presence right in my car. I turned the radio off. Listen, just began to sing songs. I know it sounds crazy. I was driving down 74, coming down 52. I was just singing to the Lord. I was singing songs. I was singing, and the Holy Spirit was there. I didn't get a word. I didn't like have like this amazing revelation or see a vision. I just felt God, and I knew I was connected to the vine. Amen. That's an amazing thing. Let me ask you something. When's the last time instead of listening to Q102 in your morning commute to work, you turned the radio off and just began to talk to Jesus? If you haven't done that, you need to. Because it's staying connected to the vine. Amen? And let me tell you this. Listen, I listen to Christian, I listen to K-Love or Air One. Listen, let me tell you something. Sometimes you need to turn all this stuff off. Amen? And just connect and say, Jesus, man, I know that you're with me. I want to talk to you. Amen? And listen, if we'll stay connected to the vine, we'll bear fruit for the kingdom. Amen? If I'm connected to the vine, Jesus, listen, if I'm not connected to the vine, I'm not going to be able to hear the Holy Spirit say, pray for that one. Invite this one to church. See, but when I'm trying to live my life and stay connected, I'm open to hearing the Lord say something like, you know, hey, talk to this person, start up a conversation. You know what I mean? Or even sometimes as you're talking to somebody, guess what? You can begin to say, like, man, I just want to tell this person about the Lord. I want to invite this person to church. I just want to pray for this person. Amen? That's bearing fruit. Amen? And here's the thing. Here's the thing with this staying connected business. The more you practice it, the more second nature it becomes. Amen? It will feel, listen, turn. If you're used to listening to Jeff and Jen in the morning on Q102, when you drive to work in the morning, guess what? It will probably feel really strange to turn that off and to have silence. Right? And you may only do it for like 5 minutes at a time the first time. That's cool. Start somewhere. Amen? And the more you practice it, the more second nature it becomes. Amen? The more second nature it becomes. And so we've got to practice. Listen, what I'm saying is this. We've got to practice His presence. Amen? We've got to practice staying connected to the vine if we want to bear fruit. Now, if we don't care, if we just want God to make us a better version of ourselves, then this isn't for you. Okay? It's not. If you don't care about that, if you don't care about seeing souls won to the Lord, if you don't care about being more like Jesus, if you don't care about seeing more of God in your life, if you don't care, then this isn't for you. But if your heart's cry is saying, God, I want to bear fruit for the kingdom. God, I want to see people saved.
God, I want to see the church explode with people giving their lives to Jesus. I want to see addicts delivered. I want to bear fruit for the. If that's what you want, then we got to stay connected to the vine, and we got to practice being connected to the vine, and we have to abide in the vine. Amen. And that, listen, here's what it takes. It's going to take me being intentional. I'm going to have to intentionally make a point to get connected to the vine in my daily life. Because life will have all sorts of ways to disconnect you. Right? Right? This will have all sorts of ways to disconnect you. I'm telling you right now, I am so guilty of sitting down at my kitchen table or at my place of prayer, wherever it's going to be for that day. I'm so guilty of getting my Bible, I like to have my iPad with the Bible on my iPad, and then I read it here because there's a reason. I'm not going to explain it all, but that's what I like to do. But sometimes before I do that, I'll see that I have a Facebook notification. And I'll click on Facebook. And then 45 minutes later, as I've been scrolling down Facebook, I'm going, what happened to my prayer time? I wish I was joking that that's happened to me, but it has. You know what I'm saying? Okay? I've got to be intentional and say, wait, that notification can wait. That text message can wait. That phone call can wait. That voicemail can wait. Listen to me, there are very few things in your life that can't wait 30 minutes for you to get into God's presence. I'm telling you, they're like 1% of the stuff that we think is a right now emergency. It can wait 30 minutes. Connect to the vine first. Because that thing that you think is so important probably needs your fruit that's connected to the vine to make it to get to it. Come on, somebody. Now I'm almost done. Can the band come up and help me close out today? Just play something. Play something that will help me shut up. Listen to this. My root will determine my fruit. Okay? Say that. My root determines my fruit. So if I take a look at the fruit of my life, and it doesn't look like the character and nature of Jesus, and it doesn't have souls attached to it, and it doesn't look like what God would have it to look like in my life, then what I've got to do is I've got to inspect the root and ask myself, what root am I connected to that's producing this fruit in my life that's not godly? Right? What other things am I abiding in and remaining in? That's really funny. These chimes. They won't stop. Sorry. What root am I connected to that's producing this fruit? Because my root will determine my fruit. And so what I may have to look, if I don't like my fruit, or if I want to change in fruit, or if I'm saying, man, I've got to ask myself, what am I abiding in? What am I connected to? What is my life anchored to that's producing this in my life that's not the character of God? And then I've got to be willing to uproot. Listen. This is what the Lord wants to do with some of us this morning. He wants to uproot some stuff and reroot some stuff. Right? There's some things that God needs to uproot in our life because it's not producing any good fruit. And there's some things that God, and as He uproots, it's not just usually an uproot, but He wants to reroot and reconnect me to the vine through Jesus Christ. Amen? Would you stand in the middle of His place this morning? Bring it down just a little. Bring it down just a little bit. Don't get too ahead of me here. We've got another 45 minutes. Just kidding. I'm just kidding, Don. What are some things that I abide in? Listen, what are some things that I abide in that I may need to have rerooted? Listen, could be some friends. Could be some friends that I'm rooted to, that I'm connected to, that is the root that's not producing the fruit, the proper fruit in my life. Listen. I could be rooted to a family situation that's where my identity and everything comes from, and it's not producing fruit. I could be rooted in the past. I could be rooted in, listen, I could be connected so badly to goals that I want to achieve in my life, and that's my root system, my success, my goals, my achievements, but it's producing all sorts of crazy fruit in my life. Got to reroot that. Got to uproot that. Amen? Listen to this. Here's the bottom line. as a believer in Jesus Christ, at the end of the day, any root that's not Jesus has to get uprooted. Amen? And I want to show you just one thing. Come here, Jeff and Bev, come here real quick. Okay, so come up here so everybody can see, because I got everybody standing. All right, so Jeff is Jesus. Imagine him beard and hair, okay? Listen. My mom is a godly woman, right? She raised me to be a man of God, right? And I've watched her and my mom live out their faith in Jesus my entire life, and it's an amazing thing. But here's, listen. This woman is connected to the vine, okay? There came a point in my life where I had to also get connected to the vine if it was ever going to bear fruit. I cannot bear fruit if I'm just connected to my mom and she's connected to the vine. Amen? And there are people that have lived their entire life with Christ has really been through a connection of someone else who's connected to the vine, and they've never really been connected to it themselves. And so the danger in that is this: if anything ever happens to her and she becomes disconnected to the vine, I'm going to be disconnected too, because I'm rooted to her. And this could be a husband, this could be a wife, this could be a grandmom, this could be a mom, a dad, a friend, whatever else. At some point in your life, I've got to also reach over and connect to the vine as well if I'm going to bear the fruit that God has me to bear. Amen? Every believer has to get connected and rooted to the vine themselves. Amen? You guys can be seated. Thank you. Amen? So I want us to ask God, this is a question I want the Lord to confront us with today. Lord, am I connected to the vine, or am I just connected to somebody else who's connected to the vine? And if the answer is I don't know, I'm not sure, God, I need to be connected to the vine myself. Amen? I got to be rooted into the vine myself. Now, again, I don't want to reach into the well just a second time just for emotion's sake. But we talked about last week that this is written by the gospel. This gospel is written by the Apostle John. It's written some 50 years after the other gospels. John, when he writes his writings of the Bible, is an old man. He's probably 70 or 80 years old. John has been martyred for his faith. John was boiled in oil 3 times and survived for preaching the gospel. And they finally just said, we're just going to let you live out your days. Leave us alone. And so John actually lives out his days in the city of Ephesus, in the church that was started by Paul. Now, the church of Ephesus grew to be a mega, mega church. Listen to me. Big churches, God loves big churches. You hear me what I'm saying? Why? Because God loves people. God loves big churches. Small churches too, but sometimes there's an attitude, well, that's a big church, that's just a... But no, no, God loves people, man, and where a lot of people are, he loves that even more. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why we want to reach a lot of people. And so, listen, don't think that big churches are something that we've invented in the... Listen, the church of Ephesus was so large that they had to meet on Sunday mornings in the Colosseum of Ephesus, which sat between 20 and 30,000 people because there were so many worshipers coming to worship. It was a mega church in the first century of Ephesus. And John was known as the elder at Ephesus. He was the old man. Now, he wasn't the preacher, probably. He was just kind of the old guy. John, think of it, listen to this. John is the last surviving person who actually walks with Jesus. He's the last one that we know in history who actually was one of the 12 disciples. He outlived them all. And it's not until later in his life that he writes these words. He wrote, I am the way. And again, here he is. I just want to imagine. I imagine John, this old man, 70, 80 years old, probably walks a little funny because of the stuff he's went through in his life. His skin is disfigured and scarred because of the beatings and the martyrdom that he took. And he literally wears the scars of Jesus on his body. And I imagine him writing this down, and he's seeing this church, this huge church of Ephesus grow. Thousands and hundreds and thousands of people getting saved all the time and miracles taking place. And there's young guys. Timothy, actually, who was a young guy, protege of Paul, is the one that took over the church of Ephesus. The young guy, Timothy, he was a teenager when he met Paul and traveled the world with him. He's probably in his 20s or 30s, and he's leading this mega, mega church, this movement that is affecting the entire world. In fact, Ephesus becomes the center later on, becomes the center of Christianity after it moves from Jerusalem. And I imagine John with these young guys that are preaching fire and seeing souls saved. And he's saying, he's the old man. He's the grandpa saying, boys, this is good. But stay connected to the vine. Trust me. Trust me, guys. I've walked it, I've lived it, and I heard him say it. Trust me, you've got to stay connected to the vine. And he says those words, he says these last words. Listen, listen, John chapter 15, the last part of verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now let's face it. I can do stuff apart from Jesus. There are plenty of successful businessmen that have made billions of dollars not connected to the vine. There are lots of athletes that have achieved great athletic and physical achievements that have done that are not connected to the vine. So when Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, what has he got to be saying? He's got to be saying, you can't do anything that matters apart from the vine. Amen? It's not your achievement that makes the difference. It's the source and the root of it that makes the difference, that makes it matter. Amen? There's nothing wrong with athletic achievement. But if it's only for my own glory and my own sake, it doesn't matter. But if I say, God, I want to achieve great athletic, and so I can bring you glory, so I can lift up your name every chance that I get, so I can give all the credit and glory to you. Now we got something that matters. But I remain in the vine. And John, the old man, says, guys, we got this great movement. We got this big church. We got lots of people showing up. We got lots of great things happening. But we got to remember to stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. That's his word to us today. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. Close your eyes and be by your head.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.